Begin.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Yeah, I'm back.
Welcome back to Discourse. I'm Morgan Nickel, big mouth dickhead from the internet.
I'm Radio's Ben Gracewood.
I'm Dylan Reeve, and I'm...
Oh, you bastard. Where is I need my disapproving rooster sound.
I went to significant effort to make that work.
He did it quietly too. He snaked us. Yeah. Didn't even hear him prepping it.
I'm not happy with you right now.
I prepped it on echo.
That's disapproving small bell.
I think that was quite approving small bell.
So Morgan, are we going short or long this week?
We are going exactly on time because now it's a little bit experimental this time, but we've made some pretty significant changes this week. We have a locked-in duration, and
I have unilaterally.
Yeah, we weren't consulted.
That's right. Well, I have spoken about this a couple of times over the last couple of months.
Yes.
What we're doing now is the main Discourse weekly show is now 1 minute long.
Right, and then there's the Easter egg at the end of it.
And we're in the Easter egg already. We're in the Easter egg already. Now, the main...
We can't be. Nyan Cat hasn't played.
The main Discourse weekly show is now exactly 1 hour long, and it's a rigid limit because you'll hear why it's a rigid limit as we go through. And as of this week, we're starting a new show, sort of, and it's called the Discourse Extra Large. And that is every time we want to keep talking about something, or if we've got something really interesting, then that goes in a second release.
Which so there can be no complaints.
There can be no complaints. The main show will be 1 hour long. 1 hour long.
Okay. Perfect. And if it goes to 2 hours, is it a double XL?
That'll be a shextra long. Shextra large.
Okay. So and you have some arrangements in place that will set us a time limit.
Yes.
Is this correct?
As long as nothing crashes. You would not believe how many different programs I've got running right now.
Wired up to these leaks. Is that anything to do with it?
That one on your scrotum, that's just you, and that is actually for my personal pleasure. Every time you hear this, there we go. Exactly right. It's a little USB dongle that I've added to Dylan's laptop connected to his scrotum.
Sorry, I just had an interruption that a large mouse is loose in the house, and I've said that my mouse will have to carry on by itself for another 57 minutes.
Approximately. That's where we are now, 3 minutes and 13 seconds into the show.
Good.
And we can just keep counting it the whole time, and that can be the whole show if we want. So we've got extremely, such amazingly exciting news this episode. The first thing is we have 3 phones to give away.
No.
Yes.
We do.
No, we have 3 phones to give away.
No.
Shut up and let me finish.
All right.
We have 3 phones to give away. The first phone is given away to someone who arranges some giveaway phones.
Oh.
And who won that?
I did. Yep.
Yay, Dylan, congratulations. You get a new phone. And you also win that phone for coming up with the second stage of this thing, which is what?
Well, we have to have a competition to give away the other 2 phones. I found it quite difficult to come up with the idea of a competition. So the first competition is coming up with an idea to give away a phone.
Okay, so listeners, if you would like to win a Motorola Defy, it's an Android phone.
Courtesy of Telecom New Zealand.
Yep, Telecom XT.
Mm-hmm.
It's about an $800 phone, I understand.
Yep.
If you want that, and it looks really lovely. It's waterproof. And it's
water resistant. It says quite significantly.
I saw a video of water being poured on it from a tap. That seems pretty nice.
Does it make you log into Moto Blur before you can even use the phone?
It does. I'm not sure how I feel about that. I mean, it doesn't. It's made no difference to me. But Moto Blur has a bunch of social things like Facebook and Twitter and stuff, which don't really work for me. So I'm just ignoring them. But otherwise, it's largely no difference to the other Android phones.
Yeah, you can ignore it, but I just it's strange that you have to do it before the phone will work. But
well, it's the same as when you normally start up a new Android phone, you have to log into a Google account.
That's true. Yep, great phone. Fantastic.
So to win that phone, described by television and radio gadget nerd Benedict Gracewood as a great phone, fantastic. To win one of those, all you got to do is come up with the best idea for a competition. Now, there's a chance that I will come up with the best idea for a competition.
Is there?
But this is not, I guarantee this is not a setup. As I will, if everyone else comes up with really stupid ideas, I'll come up with something myself. But if someone else comes up with a cool one, where this is legit. This is absolutely legit. I haven't tried to steal any of these funds, I promise.
Well, you don't have them, I do. They're in my office. And
if Morgan comes up with the best idea for competition, then there should be another phone available soon after anyway, so...
Well, yeah, that's exactly right, because the third phone is given away to the winner of the competition, come up with by the person who wins the competition, come up with competition. I should have probably written that down.
It's pretty straightforward.
It is pretty straightforward.
The standard.
How do we enter what? Tweet, email?
Judge's decision is final, comments. And we are the judges?
We are the... Yeah, whatever the competition ends up being, we are the judges of this Stage 2 competition, and we are the judges of the last competition as well. That's really the only rule, I think.
Well, also, no, nothing. We can have an honorary judge. The person who came up with the competition could also join us as an honorary judge of the final competition, if required. Yep.
That's true. I agree. Yeah, that's true. But their vote is not worth more than ours, and there are three, and there are three of us, so their vote is worth no more than one quarter.
I have one more condition. The person who wins the phone should, you know, ideally use it. I don't want to see someone win it and sell it on Trade Me straight away.
Actually, that's the first rule. If you just want to sell it, fuck you, actually, and you're fired. You're not allowed to listen to the show anymore.
Also,
you grasping little scumbag.
Obviously, employees of Discourse Podcast Enterprises Limited and their subsidiaries won't be eligible to enter.
That's fine. Yeah, totally fine with that.
Yeah.
Well, they're not eligible to enter the third competition.
Well, it doesn't. That company doesn't exist, so I'm quite happy with that.
Because, of course, probably we will have to operate the third comp, and who knows what it'll be. It could be like a... It could be an online treasure hunt where you have to find tokens on a bunch of websites, or it could be, you know, you have to figure out the real world location and either be the first to give us a screen grab of a Google Maps location, or ideally the first person to get to a place and find some token.
You're blurring the waters now.
Oh, well, no, yeah. What I'm saying is don't think small. Don't think small and don't just say, oh, let's have a prize draw where you go to a form and you click enter and then that gives you one entry in the competition.
Well, that won't win you the first phone, so...
That will not win you the first phone. Second phone. That will not... No one is winning anything for that idea. I want something really cool. Yeah, I think that's a simple guideline, right? Make something really cool, something exciting that people will want to be involved with.
And accessible, something that in the natural laws of decency and all that sort of stuff, something you yourself would do. So don't make people run
well,
naked
we're choosing in the end, so it doesn't really matter what they make people do.
That's true. Yeah, go crazy. And if you have several ideas, submit them all.
Yep. So how do we submit? What? Email or
I don't care.
Website?
I think I think it would be a good idea to keep your submission private, so Twitter might not be ideal.
So email.
Contacts form on discourse.co.nz will work fine, or email.
How about let's make it complicated and arbitrary, so it's less likely for people to enter. You have to go to the website to submit your idea, so you keep it secret, but you also have to talk about the competition on Twitter or Facebook or somewhere like that.
So just I've entered the Discourse Telecom NZ phone giveaway competition. Yep.
And thank you so much to Telecom for... I mean, they've given us $2,400 worth of phones.
Yeah, no, and I want to be clear about this. It was, you know, it's not like I didn't go begging to them. I was in a discussion with the wonderful Carrot RI, or Richard Irvine, I think, at Telecom about something else, and he suggested it. He's a fan of the show. So there you go.
Right.
It's wonderful.
I'm really excited about it. I'm really, really excited about it. Something else I'm excited about is finding out how Ben's gotten on using the Gmail Android theme.
I've grown to like it. I still don't like the green, but the thing is that the subtle Android little Android peeking over the M of my Gmail doesn't really get in my face too much.
Yeah.
So does that make you angry every time you see it, though?
No, it doesn't. I like. Look, this is what I'm going to say about those phone giveaways. I haven't played with them, so I don't know, but I love a good Android phone.
Yeah.
I hate most Android phones because most Android phones are shit.
Yeah.
But I love a good Android phone.
I've had one problem with this phone so far, but I think it was actually TweetDeck going spazzy. So I'm not certainly. I'm pretty happy with it.
The only problem I've had with my Android phone is the battery life is quite bad when the wireless is on.
You know, weird thing, I've got a phone running at the moment that has no SIM card in it, so it doesn't have cell data on. It has got Wi-Fi on, though, all the time, and the battery is lasting just insane. It's
3G so the cell, hunting.
Yeah, man, 3G the cell, hunting the cell is the worst. What kills it.
Yeah, 3G hunting is really bad for battery and probably worst on Vodafone. Everyone knows Vodafone's network's shit at the moment. Go with Telecom.
There you go.
It's time on this week's discourse for a prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for all your blessings. You said in all things give thanks. So we want to thank you tonight for these mighty machines that you brought before us. Thank you for the Dodges and the Toyotas. Thank you for the Fords. And most of all, we thank you for Roush and Yates partnering to give us the power that we see before us tonight. Thank you for GM Performance Technology and the R07 engines. Thank you for Sunoco Racing Fuel and Goodyear Tires that bring performance and power to the track. Lord, I want to thank you for my smoking hot wife tonight, Lisa. My two children, Eli and Emma, or as we like to call them, the Little E's. Lord, I pray and bless the drivers and use them tonight. May they put on a performance worthy of this great track. In Jesus' name, boogity, 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 amen.
Amen.
Boogity,
great.
Boogity.
Lord, Bogany. I'd like to thank you for my smoking hot wife. That's my favorite
comments on that video.
It's enough to turn me into an evangelical Christian.
There are almost. Well, when I loaded it, there were over 1,000 comments.
There's a little comment war going between people who think it's great and it reflects really well on Christians, and another and the other side, which is like, oh my God, how could you do this? It's horrible. What a bad Christian! I can't believe he's a
pastor. Crybabies. Shut up, crybabies.
Can't have fun. That's what God says. No fun for anyone.
Yeah, that's
disapproving sheep. I finally found a sound.
Good work.
No, good
whatever
work.
You do,
good work.
Whatever
is,
you do, don't have fun.
Don't have fun. Disapproving sheep never has fun. What's next? Dancing squid meal. Someone put that in. This I find quite disturbing. This is a YouTube video. Who put this in?
I did. I thought it was news of the week. You know, screw everything else that's happened this week. Dancing squid meal. I'm kind of... So this is a meal, a video of someone's... Looks like a dish of kind of glass noodles and fish roe and wasabi from Hokkaido with a squid on top of it. A dead squid.
Ah!
But they pour soy sauce onto it, and the squid kind of dances.
I'm watching it, and it's terrifying.
It's horrible.
But isn't it like, I watched it and went, oh my God, but also at the same time, I kind of tasty, and I have to kind of eat it.
I've eaten living things
horrifying
in Japan, living things. What I ate in Japan that was living, though, was like a clam or something, and it was awful. It was actually awful.
Is that squid dead? What's going on?
It's had its head cut off.
Well, it's had most of its head cut off.
Yeah.
You can see that there are bits of head left, though.
It looks quite alive, doesn't it?
It looks pretty alive to me. It doesn't look like a random spasming. I mean, it looks to me like terror, and well, not terror, but it looks to me like pain.
Well, no, the fact that it kind of contracts, then it stops.
Yeah.
So it's almost like it's tensing up.
They claim that it's something to do with sodium activating some kind of axon or nerve cell or something, but maybe that's true. Maybe that's true, but it looks so alive.
Yeah. so terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure I could eat a dish with a big squid on it like that in the first place, but yeah.
Have you seen Old Boy?
No.
Right. Oh, well, if you'd seen Old Boy, you would have. Oh God, it's such a scene. It's an amazing movie. Korean. I've spoken about it before, and Ben went. Are you still talking about movies? Ben decided that he was disapproving sheep. Whereas I say, Old Boy, approving bell.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, he eats a squid, and it's alive, and it tries to claw its way out of his mouth with its tentacles wrapping around his face as he chews it and swallows it down.
Wow, we've all been there.
Some of us may have. I've never tried that. Ooh. Actually, I've eaten a lot of live oysters, though. And, you know, ultimately, and this is what sent me originally down the path of vegetarianism, what's the difference between an oyster and a squid? What's the difference between a squid and a dog? What's the difference between a dog and a person?
What's the difference between a person and a person?
What's the difference between one person and another? That's absolutely right. you know.
Especially if it's a person from Europe or a person from Africa. But I'm my slipping on some news.
Flavor, I'd
15
say.
Minutes.
Did you hear that?
What did it say?
Well, I guess you probably had to be paying attention.
10 minutes.
15 minutes.
Jeez, it's running fast. There's a lot of bad news
running
this week.
In real time. There's been such terrible news. I'm so glad that the start of the show has been a pretty upbeat. Because
shall we just ignore the bad news?
I don't think we can ignore it, but I want to address it, and I want people to understand that the whole thing in Norway, we don't want to make light of it, but I've been feeling miserable for days. I've been feeling grumpy and angry and sad.
And, so horrible.
And it's not just because of that. It's just because a whole bunch of stuff, I think, is happening that just makes me unhappy. Which, I mean, it's a pretty simple word. It's not the most powerful of emotions, unhappiness. But, you know, that's
no, I get you. I get it. And I feel the same way. It's kind of malaise and just general fucked offedness.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of reflections
that's going down.
Yeah, go on, Dills.
So, I remember, so I sort of off track, but Metafilter, which is a website I know you guys are aware of, and probably lots of people listen. It's the blog that began blogs, maybe, or something like that. Anyway,
long time member.
It's a true school. It's an old school blog.
Built in Cold Fusion.
What's that?
Built in Cold Fusion.
Yeah, shockingly. I joined Metafilter in early September, or possibly late August 2001.
Yeah.
And so I'd been on the site about a week or two when September 11th happened, and I remember being. When that was happening, going there and looking through the September 11th thread and just watching the news as it progressed from, and the first post is like a plane has crashed into the World Trade Center. Isn't that peculiar? Not sure what's going on. Yeah. And just as the information comes out and the realization and it's like reading through history. So I looked at the Metafilter page. There's a Metafilter page for this Norway event as well, which was originally an explosion in Oslo. Before it was known that it was a bomb, and before it was known what was going on, and the way the story develops through there, and of course, and it mirrors what we saw in the media, which was, everyone going, oh, what a terrible thing, it looks like a bomb, and then once it was a bomb, it was like, oh, it's probably Al-Qaeda, because that's their sort of, their handiwork, it's how they work, which is not really true, it's just a bomb. And then more and more as it developed further and further through the whole story, and then as the shooting happened on the in Ireland, and then as the death toll climbed, it's a fascinating. It was really interesting to read through the timeline like that.
Yeah.
And the things that have stuck with me about the attack was fascinating to me how readily people were willing to blame. Islamist groups, although there was some reason to, there's been some threats and stuff, and how widespread that was. Like I've found a little, there's a story on Reuters, it was like on Newswires on Reuters, and it was like, who are the likely suspects, and it's just basically a bunch of extremist Islamic groups.
Yeah,
and there was no suggestion that it might be, what it actually has turned out to be. Which then is a whole different thing.
Except and I'm guessing that all of our listeners have seen all the stuff that's come out since, highlighting how many recent terror, quote unquote, terror attacks have been at the hands of Christian extremists or right-wing extremists.
I got from Reza Aslan was this: the most recent year that really solidly researched numbers are available for appears to be 2009.
Yeah,
and that. And in 2009, there were 294 terror attacks in the EU zone. And 237 of those were by separatists like ETA. And 40 were by leftists and anarchists. Only 4 were by rightists, which is what this guy was. And 1 was by Islamists. 1 out of 294 attacks.
Now, that's not necessarily attacks. That was attacks that were successful and or thwarted or...
Yeah.
Stopped. So, I mean, that was, 200 and whatever, 94 terrorist plots, basically, some of which succeeded and some of which didn't.
That's right. And so, I mean, it tells you that what people are afraid of, as usual, is completely out of whack with reality and where the actual threat is coming from. And where it's coming from is people you don't need to be afraid of because, we're not in the Basque region of Spain and France. And people who, I think... I think it makes me sad that there are 40 leftist or anarchist plots. That makes me... I feel terrible about that. I mean, it's not me.
Well, that one's actually not so uncommon. I mean, and that was quite common. You know, the anarchist... I think the anarchist ones are normally attacks against property rather than people.
Yeah.
Because they've been going on for years.
Yeah.
The other thing was, like, you know, everyone's... as soon as it was a bomb, it was like, oh, well, that's, you know, that's Al-Qaeda's trademark. It was, no, it's a bomb. People have been blowing up cars to... I mean, you know, maybe it's the IRA's trademark.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like they invented it.
Yeah.
So, I think the people were saying the bomb plus gun attack was, you know... Well, simultaneous attacks is apparently Al-Qaeda's thing, but again, it's just...
Terror.
Yeah, absolutely. If I was going to do a plot of terrorist attack, I'd do simultaneous attacks so they'd look like Al-Qaeda. I mean, God's sake.
The other thing that occurred to me was when it happened and we heard that he'd been arrested, and it's like, surely not. Like, who does something like that and lets themselves get caught? And then you find out more about it, and it's so obvious that he's let himself get caught because... And he literally, in his ridiculous, rampaged, crazy... 1500 page.
He said it was his.
Said it was his marketing campaign.
Yeah, this time I want to say two things before I move on. I mean, if you guys want to move on, but no, firstly, the headline. Apparently, he said he thought he was going to be killed by the public outside his court case, and I say, no, you fucking cunty wanker, you don't get off that lightly. You cunt.
Quite right.
And no one is going to assassinate you because you need to rot for a long time. Secondly, interesting conversation this afternoon on the radio. I can't remember who said it, but he made an interesting point that perhaps letting the guy have his pulpit is a good thing, because then people will understand that there is an extremist view out there that they hadn't, that they sort of ignored before.
Yeah.
And then they can address it. He said it, obviously the guy who was explaining it said it a lot better. I think it was on Radio New Zealand. It was ex-CIA guy, Paul someone.
Oh, yeah,
commentator.
He's you know, the one American guy in New Zealand who's always quoted, yep.
He's reasonably up with the play on terrorism and that sort of stuff. Yeah, interesting, really interesting point. I don't think, I feel wrong that this guy should get the pulpit, but perhaps acknowledging that there is a range of extremist views out there and there are a range of people who will do this sort of fucked up stuff.
Well, the strange thing is, once you start to hear him, you'd notice, like, if you've read through any of his stuff, it's like, it's not unfamiliar.
Yeah.
Like, the stuff he's saying and the stuff that's driven him to where he is stuff, I mean, shit, some of it is literally, you know, US Tea Party stuff. It's that.
It's fear of brown people and fear of people who aren't Christian, right?
Yeah, basically.
Yep. Yep.
It's all about fear.
Yeah.
What a coward. What an absolute coward.
Yeah, it's interesting to see also how quickly right wing organizations, blogs, people like there's like an anti-Muslim Islam out of America or an Islam out of Europe, I can't remember what it's called, but there's an organization like that who you know immediately jumped up to say, oh no, he had nothing to do with us, despite the fact it looks like he might have, you know. Yeah, and then the deflection, the weird deflections that are happening. Also, the fact that the word terrorist went away once he stopped being possibly an Islamist and started being a right wing white guy. He became an extremist, not a terrorist.
Yeah, there have been Muslims in Europe since at least the 12th century.
Some of the history in Spain is incredible. So many layers of things from. The Phoenicians and then the Moors, who are Muslim.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy.
Just look at the architecture.
All right, let's get on something else.
Yeah, let's. This is another one of those things where we don't want to. We're not pretending that something didn't happen, but it is not our wheelhouse.
Yeah, there are better people to talk about this than
exactly,
us.
And they will talk about it at great length. And it'll all be good stuff, I'm sure. But
we should talk about some happy stuff, fun stuff.
Yes. Can I just say one thing? I would like there to be maybe a prohibition on ever naming this asshole, because I don't want his name out there. I mean, okay, so it's a pretty small stand to take, but I mean, I feel like so. You say you read a quote from someone suggesting that, you know, letting him have his say lets people know that there are extremists out there like that. But I don't want that guy to have any more fame than he's got.
No.
Yeah, he's got enough.
If anything, you know, you put it, you sentence him to being watched for the rest of his life. Don't put him in jail. Put him somewhere where he can be seen and watched, and that's it. Ignore him. You know, he wants his grandstand. Fuck him.
I wish there was some way to punish him sufficiently for the amount of pain that he's caused, but I think there is actually no way. Letting him live is not sufficient, and killing him is definitely not sufficient. And nothing else is, not yeah, killing yeah. him is civilized, but nothing else is civilized enough that we could, you know, ever stomach anything else.
I guess the hope is you put him in jail, he eventually reflects on it enough to decide it was the wrong thing to do, and then kind of has to spend the rest of his life dealing with that. Yeah. But, you know, who knows?
All right.
Right.
I feel
change
like
the tone.
We need
I'll take the next one. I'm going to go straight on to Fuck Tournament. Yeah, that's right. I went there.
All right.
Not Fuck Tournament, not like the sports league I'm going to start, but tournament parking. I'm self-linking really, but I wrote a blog post about it, and it's just that so the more information's come out. So tournament parking has come back and said a bunch of things basically. You know, well, we've told them to talk to the insurance company because in the past the insurance company's dealt with these sorts of things, which is like, what, so you do this regularly? And then they've come out and said, oh, we're not going to pursue the couple for their ridiculous, for this parking infringement anymore. We're going to go to the insurance company, which is retarded. Just basically tournament parking are fuckwits. Yeah. That's what I'm going for. So there you go. That's what I've got to say on that. And I've got another company to shout
right,
the fuck
well,
out as
stop.
Well.
Wait, don't do it.
Yeah. No, I won't.
No, because we've got a new thing on Discourse, and it's
okay.
And this is to along the same lines as the kind of the sharpening up of things and making things seem a bit faster. There's a new thing called
Fast Five.
Oh, what's it called?
Fast Five.
Fast Five. That's up to five articles. I think, Dylan, you probably will have Fast
Three.
Yeah.
I have three.
I've got one.
Where you get? How many have you got? Have you got five?
Look, I.
That
I've
you can
got,
do
I've
in
got,
order?
Let me just, I'll do my Hell Pizza one, then you carry on.
And how many more have you got after Hell Pizza?
That's it. That's me. That's me
one.
Done.
Go.
Well, I was just Hell Pizza. You may have heard of it. Hell Pizza apparently reneged on an agreement in relationship with the charity, with the telethon we had in 2009 for the Kids Can charity. The Kids Can people say that Hell agreed to pay $10,000 or pledged to pay $10,000 for the charity, and that Hell Pizza reneged on that and didn't do so. Now we've only got one side of the story, but it's side of the story from a charity who really have no benefit. There's no benefit to the charity in lying about this or whatever. Whereas Hell Pizza have come out and said, oh, well, you're not hearing the whole story. We gave them money and we didn't give them some other money, and you'll know more when you hear the whole story, but they haven't bothered to tell us yet, so I'm sticking with Fuck Hell Pizza.
Yeah, this is bizarre. Their Twitter thing came out and said, oh, well, you'll wait till you hear the other side of the story, and it's not our fault, and nothing's come out. It's stupid.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Bad I'm PR. Waiting, but I'm not going to wait that long.
All right, that's 1 minute. That's all you get. 1 minute.
Not for all three of them.
1 minute on that. Now, you told me you had one thing.
I had one. That's me. I'm done.
You're done?
Yep.
Fast Five.
It's misnamed.
Fast Five.
If you only have
Fast
one thing. Five. Maybe we need a new name. News Bites.
If
news
you told
night.
Me.
Is it five each, is it? Or what?
Up to five each. Up to when there's three of us, up to five each, because that's 15 minutes of news. Covering as many as 15 stories. That seems pretty reasonable pace to get through stories. No messing around. Enough time to give it a little bit of time. And still right. time to talk about the couple of things that we want to talk at greater length about. That's the idea of...
Fast Five.
Yeah.
Okay, who's next?
Well, do you want to go?
Go on.
Yep, I'll go.
Five.
Hang on. Five first. Is it countdown?
Yep.
Okay, good. So for number five is History Has a Smell. I talked about this on the radio today.
What's the smell? Is it like space having a smell?
You're recycling.
Space has a smell. Doesn't space smell of ozone?
You've got 40 seconds to go.
No, this is just an interesting article from the Boston Globe about the fact that scientists and perfumers and archaeologists are getting together to recreate the smells of history. So yeah. The perfumers are doing things like finding ancient, or not ancient, Napoleonic recipes for perfume and recreating those perfumes. Another guy is capturing smells through kind of a mass spectrometry approach by, you know, putting a globe over a flower and extracting all the chemicals that get given off and then working out what they're made up of. So he can recreate the smell of any flower, even if it's extinct.
Wow.
As long as he's captured it. and archaeologists looking at organic compounds in like Viking deposits, saying this is what it smelled like then.
That's that.
30 minutes.
Did you hear that? What? 30 minutes, the end of your number five, your first story, happened to coincide exactly with the 30-minute mark on the show.
Oh, my
perfect
God.
Timing.
Are you ready for your next one?
Four.
Free Steam on Orcon.
Oh, I'm so excited about this.
Isn't it great? But it's only great because it's good for us.
But
I'm
Ben,
so
you
conflicted.
Hate the ozone.
I'm so conflicted. It's fantastic because I'll be able to get, like, whatever it is, 8 gigs of Battlefield 3 for free and I won't have to pay it for it off my cap.
So, would it be enough? Here's the question then, sort of firing back at you. If you weren't on Orcon and Free Steam came onto the Ozone, would that be enough to make you go to Orcon to choose it over another provider?
It'd be close, but that plus Genius probably would because the pricing is just pretty cracker.
I think we're going to talk a little bit more about this after you finish your fives. You've got 20 seconds to go.
Okay. Yeah, but everyone who doesn't know what Steam is, with the dollar at 87 US cents and free Steam on Orcon, it's a no-brainer, really. Free shit, really. Cheap shit.
I think it actually is a no-brainer. We got Portal. We got 2 copies of Portal. If we did it the conventional Steam way, wait for it.
Yeah.
There we go. If we did it the normal way, we would have downloaded 22 gigabytes.
Yeah, but you can actually copy backups of games around, can't you?
That's true. That's true, but it's a little bit of a pain because you have to make the backup, take it to that machine, and then restore the backup. And, well, I mean, so that's not. It's not like, oh, God, it's so arduous. But it's much nicer just to just say, actually, we don't care about the download. Just leave it.
I think we'll come to this later, but it's interesting that, you know, you say that much data for that game because it's also the same thing's happening with OS X Lion, but I think we'll get there soon.
Yeah, let's talk about Lion in a little bit. After
so this is Fast Five interrupted by preamble and
post-amble. Wankery.
Yep. Are you ready for another story, Ben?
Yes.
3.
Yeah, I'm just thinking I might have to go from 3 to 1. But
right.
If you want happiness, don't buy stuff, go on vacation or a holiday if you're not American. So this is a really nice little story, happy story about what makes people happy. And the guy did a survey and he asked people about the happiest things they owned or did. And they would say how they talk about holidays and how happy their holidays were and how fantastic they were. And they would actually overrate them and in terms of how much experience or joy they had from them. So simple answer, don't, you know, save up your money, go on a trip. And I have to say absolutely.
Yep, I agree.
Have to go to Tokyo and that sort of stuff. It's just fantastic. Could have spent the money on a I don't know, couch or a computer or
ooh, a couch. Whatever. I don't know. Maybe a couch is pretty good.
Yeah, I don't take enough holidays. We are currently, we've got 3 planned, a weekend in Melbourne, a trip, it looks like probably to Koh Samui, maybe in September, and we're doing a weird Europe thing sometime next year where we're going to go to Turkey and who knows where else.
I love Melbourne. I'm taking Harrison to Melbourne for his 7th birthday.
Oh, goody. That'll be fun. And so, Benedict, did you want to skip straight to 1?
Yeah, I just got one more.
1.
You don't have 2. Oh.
The last one is Google support is generally shit. I think
I didn't know there was such a thing.
Now because of Google Plus, and people are asking for more sort of personal support. But years ago, a couple of years ago, I had issues with Feedburner being stupid on my site. Went to the Feedburner, you know, where do I get support? Who do I email? They said go to the support forum.
Yeah,
fucking tumbleweeds.
Yeah.
Tumbleweeds. Posted as, you know, support thing. 20 people responded saying, yeah, me too. And that was it.
I had the same problem.
No humans within Google were looking at that site at all.
Testing out the idea of a migration for a company email from Exchange to Google Apps, and same thing. Without any support, and you know, and on the odd edge cases, you just no idea.
Yeah. So there's a guy that's twittering around everywhere about Google support, and he wrote a huge twit longer, which we can link from the show notes. That just goes on and on. Basically, all his shit was lost because they cut him off, and there's
no way. That's
pretty
shocking when you hear about it.
There's no remedy. No remedy for him.
And as I read more, apparently what it's turned out that it might be is that it wasn't that he broke a Google Terms of Service. It was that he set up a Google Plus account, but perhaps didn't use his real name or something.
Yeah.
And so they killed his Google Plus account, but in the process killed all his Google services.
Is your timer broken, Morgan, on number one?
Oh, no, it ended. It's done.
Yeah. All right. So, done. That was my fastest. Morgan.
Have they got too many doctors and not enough Indians or something?
Probably. Or they just don't understand. I don't know. They think machines and machine learning and categorization can do everything. You know, the wisdom of the crowd and all that bullshit.
Yeah.
Mm.
Five.
So Robert Pattinson. Now this is ancient. This is a story from like 12 days ago or something, which is definitely, I mean, we operate at internet time, don't we, on Discourse? Robert Pattinson decides that he doesn't want to be typecast, so he says that he wants to play a killer. He was a vampire!
It's interesting though, because you think about it, like, there's been a few actors who've done that, who've taken like quite surprisingly grim roles to break away from perhaps typecasting. Like, I don't know, Robin Williams is one that springs to mind. He's done a couple of
Kingsley.
Surprisingly grim roles.
Yeah. 1 hour photo.
Yeah, and insomnia. Yeah. It'd be interesting to see Robert Pattinson not sparkling. So you know,
I would like to see him away from that horrible girl who can't act. But I don't know. Can Robert Pattinson act either? He just doesn't. He just kind of look like he's got some stomach upset most of the time.
Actually, you know what? The best example of this was it Will Smith in Six Degrees of Separation. 6 degrees. Is that Will Smith?
Yes.
That was one of those movies. Yeah. That was a look I can actually act movie.
Was he wearing Chuck Taylors in that one as well?
Probably. Who knows?
Four.
From the Herald, police not surprised by taser failures. So it turns out that they have fired how many? They've fired 102 times the police at baddies. They've presented them 797 times. While they've fired them 102 times, they've accidentally fired them 108 times. So they've discharged them unintentionally more times than they've used them legitimately.
All and but one of those accidental firings occurred during pre-operation sign-out checks
at
police stations.
But this is the same... This is the same police force. Shut up. This is my fucking minute.
Yeah,
I interrupted you guys. I know. But this is the same police force that wants more access to firearms.
That's like when I shot myself in the foot with a paintball gun during the safety briefing for the paintball gun.
They've also accidentally discharged a taser inside. Oh, I can't tell you. Inside one of their cars. Which is hilarious. It's like something from a movie, like a Keystone Cops moment, right?
It's just a shame that it wasn't like one of the cars that had a police 10-7 camera crew in it.
What number are we up to? Was that four?
I think that was four.
Five.
Three.
Which story am I going to do next? Let's choose Google to discontinue Google Labs. And this is something that absolutely... I'm gobsmacked by this because Google Labs is where all their cool stuff seems to start. I mean, if you want to add special plugins and extensions to Gmail, you go into Labs. So, I mean, hopefully some version of that is still going to be available. And what they're closing down is, I don't even know. But I'm really worried. I'm really worried about this.
But isn't it Gmail Labs? Is that different to Google Labs?
Well, it's got the same name. So maybe, I don't know, hopefully it is different because that's my main exposure to the old Labs thing. But, I mean, there's been a bunch of little projects that they release and just kind of soft launch in there, and you can go and try them out and see if they're cool, and they can find out if people agree, and they can, you know, figure out what to put a bit more development time into. I don't know what they're going to do instead of that if they're going to get rid of the Labs. Guess? Let the accountants decide?
56 projects in Labs at the moment.
Right, 56 projects, and what's going to happen to those projects? They're going to disappear, probably. Some of them
will be productized, like Google Goggles and Google Listen for Android will apparently be productized. But how will they know
what projects to release to a wider audience in future without having Labs?
It's a shame because there's been some really cool stuff, and I don't really understand. Is that going to impact upon the whole? 20% or whatever the Google employees get their own.
The free time that they get.
The project time to develop their good ideas.
Yeah.
And this is usually where those end up. So is that, you know. Yeah, who knows? Yeah. Anyway, sad.
Two.
Now, this is one of those stories which I should probably stay well away from because whenever I talk about religion, I get myself into trouble, you know, making my silly jokes and so on. I don't know. I think people either will actually be offended or they definitely won't be amused. But this is not a joke. This is the Sisters of Islam. Is that what they're called? Yes, it's Sisters in Islam. I'm sorry. I think they're a Malaysian group. One of them was down here. Was it Zaina? No, it was Ratna Osman was here speaking at AUT talking about Muslim women's rights are human rights. And she says, and this organization, this Muslim organization says, that the burqa is an affront to human dignity and that there is no foundation in the Quran that says that women actually should wear the burqa. This is the full face veil, right? They say that there is no rule that says you need to have a veil. You know, maybe covering your hairs in there, but I think that's in the Christian Bible as well.
Yeah, I think
there was meant to be a buzzer just then. I guess I missed them out on 2-1.
Those things came about from cultural. It was cultural predating Islam, I understand.
Right. And I buy that completely. I mean, no one cares what I buy, of course, but I buy that because, I mean, it seems to be, you know, similar sort of garb seems to be in a bunch of the religions, and it does always seem to be cultural rather than, I mean, it's not in the Ten Commandments, is it?
Well, if you get right down to it, I mean, most of religion is cultural anyway, but, you know, it has context.
And 100% of it is made up by people.
Yes.
And most of it, because of the age of most of these religions, is made up by men who wanted to reinforce the patriarchy, reinforce their power and authority over the rest of people. Hence, slavery being just fine. Just fine. Right. Yeah. Do I want to do another story?
I don't know. Did you know black people would be better under slavery now than they are under Obama's administration?
One.
Says you don't have a go. Presidential candidate Michelle Bachmann.
All right, I'm starting this again.
One.
Woman grows nipple on sole of foot. I hope that someone told Quentin Tarantino about this because, I mean, when I think of foot fetishists, Quentin Tarantino, he's way at the top of the list. This story, it turns out, is at least 5 or 6 years old because that's the first time it appeared in the medical journals. This is a story about a 22... Shut up, this is my minute. This is a story about a 22-year-old woman who noticed a well-formed nipple growing on the sole of her foot. The nipple is complete with areola, hair, sweat, and sebaceous glands. It's called a pseudomamma, and it's the first example that is known to have appeared on the sole of a foot.
Would it put off a foot fetishist, though? Because if they were, you know, into nipples, then they'd go for nipples, not feet.
I guess that's true, but, you know, you can two great flavors that taste great together, right?
I saw, I don't know where it is, one of the other articles I saw about that had had a video embedded in it, which was, I can't remember, some comedian who apparently, Mark Wahlberg, Mark Wahlberg has a third nipple. It's just, you know, right. here's a person with a third nipple. It's Mark Wahlberg talking about his third nipple.
The thing that this intrigues me, the thing about the story that I find intriguing is the idea that you could maybe take a piece of breast tissue. I don't know if you'd need to convert it somehow. I don't know what you'd do. So you take a piece of your nipples and then seed additional nipples down your body. I think it would be really cool to have, like, you know, four extra nipples, like a cat.
Is that like the next body modification trend, do you think?
I think that could be really cool. If they were legit, if they weren't just tattooed on or some fake scarification thing, but if it was like genetically, you know, a bit of tissue that you took it and then you did something tricky to it in a lab, and then by planting that, seeding that in the appropriate points down the body, you could then grow more nipples. I think that could be really cool.
Maybe something.
I probably wouldn't do it myself, but I would like to see pictures of someone else who's done it.
Those BME guys would be fully
into it, surely. It doesn't seem to be anything that they're not into, actually.
Isn't there one of them who's already, like, tattooed like a cat?
Oh, God, that guy looks awful. And he's got implanted whiskers.
Yeah, so that would then make...
The best one I saw was the guy that got studs, as in, screw studs embedded in his skull, so then he could screw on any kind of appendages he wanted.
Oh, that's very clever.
Just little silver domes around under his hair for work, and then, 6-inch spikes for nighttime.
That's a pretty good way to do it. Have you seen the Japanese donut heads?
Yeah, the saline injection guys.
Yeah, it is incredible. Well, just go and Google it, listener. Go and Google a Japanese donut head. Probably will do. And you'll see these kids who get this. They get this injection, but at the same time as injecting the saline under the skin of their forehead, they like hold down parts of the skin to form shapes. And then I understand that by the next morning, it's completely gone. And there are people who say they've done it many, many times. It's just a temporary thing. It looks incredibly ugly, though.
Yeah, it looks kind of Hellboy stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, guess what? We're very close to the next little segment of time, and we've got so many things still that we need to get through. We haven't done Urban Dictionary Word of the Week. We haven't done the toot bag. We haven't done corrections. So we are going to absolutely hammer through the last bit of the show here.
45 minutes. Urban Dictionary Word of the Week.
Benedict Gracewood. You're going to get this one because I just chose one that I like. It's not a tricky one. Your word is afterpants.
Afterpants. So it sounds a bit like underpants, afterpants. It's the belt mark left by tight pants.
Excellent guess. Dills, no.
Oh, man, I quite like that now. I hadn't thought of anything, but then he comes up with that. I can't think of anything else. Okay, good.
Sheep's unhappy.
Afterpants. Afterburner. Afterparty. No, I got nothing. Sorry, I'm at a loss on this. I like Ben's one too. I'm going to have to agree with Ben.
This my little sting here is not nearly loud enough.
You're all wrong.
That's what it says.
You're all wrong.
The designated time of the evening in which everyone at the party is no longer wearing pants. Afterpants.
I suppose with afterparty, if I just drilled down that line a bit more, I might have got there.
Yep, but that's not the only thing. I say afterpants, and this is something I encountered this usage of it on, believe it or not, Metafilter. Afterpants is basically when you get home and you get out of your goddamn trousers and you just get into some undies or you put on some PJs or a sarong or you put on whatever's comfy, and so you're not really in outside pants anymore, and maybe you're in underpants, but maybe you're not in underpants, but what you are definitely in is afterpants. That's my favourite usage of it.
Special free time.
Yeah, that's my favourite usage of it, but that usage isn't actually on Urban Dictionary. Okay, what's next?
I don't know.
We are definitely going to go large. We're going to go extra large because there's so many cool stories I want to talk about. Lion stuff, these zombie-like employees at a computer game developer in Auckland. New MacBook
Get over themselves.
Is...
Fuck. Everyone works overnight sometimes, it's a death match.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that's true. The crunch. Absolutely. Yep. We can talk about the Neanderthal genes that have been found in certainly all of us. Everyone outside of African populations.
Africa. Pity about racial purity, eh?
Yeah, pity about that. So...
What's your auntie been talking about?
I need to make those things a little bit louder. They're not quite loud enough.
What's your auntie
My auntie's
been talking about
nothing but Breaking Bad.
She
just won't stop.
Me, neither.
Someone can't shut up about it.
Yeah. So what's been happening with Breaking Bad? Shut up just a second. What's been happening? What's your auntie been saying about Breaking Bad there, Benedict?
She's just been saying how awesome it's got even better after series two.
Yeah, completely right. Okay, well that's not really a story that we're telling. So Dylan, what's your auntie been talking about?
My auntie has sent me a collection of tapes with a US show from Adult Swim called Children's Hospital.
Children's Hospital? Tell me about Children's Hospital. Is it a documentary? Is it a medical story? Is it like Grey's Anatomy?
Yeah, let's say that. Yeah, it's a bit like Grey's Anatomy. It's insane. It's awesome. It's short, like 10, 15-minute episodes, something like that. And it's got Rob Corddry from Daily Show, a couple of other people who are sort of recognisable. On the second series, Henry Winkler turns up.
Hey!
Yeah, he doesn't do that. But it's weird. It's surrealist. It's bizarre. It's got one of my favorite devices of all time that I always wanted to use if I made a TV show, which was like a previously on Children's Hospital, containing things that haven't happened.
Yeah,
it's brilliant.
Which I love. And it's one of the weird things about it that's getting me is it's shot in the North Hollywood Medical Center, which is an old hospital. Yeah, which is an old hospital that they use for filming Scrubs, among other things.
I love the sound of that. I haven't seen it, and hopefully my auntie will send me one, but I doubt it because she doesn't really send me comedy stuff. She doesn't send me
that
much.
I'm just going to take a bit of time out now. I might not make it back before the end of the show. I've got to go and see what my son's up to.
All right.
Okay. What did that ding mean, Morgan?
Let me
Don't forget to rewind the tape.
There we go. I've got to make those things louder so that people talking over them doesn't kill them and drown them. Okay, we've really got to crack on because we've got 10 minutes, 30 seconds left in the show.
That's tons of time.
And we still have to...
Let's open up the toot bag.
Open up the toot bag.
Let's open up the toot bag.
Let's open up the toot bag.
Let's open
What's
up
in the toot bag? There's a lot of toots this week. We caused controversy. You caused controversy.
By NASA?
Talking about shit.
Well... Yeah. A lot of people weren't fans of the poop talk and the Easter egg after the show last week.
But hang on, stop there. Yeah. There wasn't an Easter egg. There was just ramble for 40 minutes.
But there was ramble that no sane person would find.
Well, not really,
because
because everyone's looking at their thing.
No, they're not.
I don't know you're calling me insane for looking at my player and saying, hey, there's 40 minutes left. I'm going to fast forward for 10 minutes and see if there's anything there.
Well, my assumption was that people would expect it just meant that Nyan was going to keep going for another 40 minutes.
My statement on it was that it was clearly non-canon. It was obviously not part of the
It was definitely outside the show. The show had ended and Ben had left. And then we played Nyan again for minutes on end after already having played Nyan. So anyway, none of that is from the toot bag. The toot bag, let's see, what are we going to start with? Darren Hall, at Naked Geek on Twitter, just finished 2.0 Nyan. What the fuck were you thinking? Enough is enough. I can't do it anymore. So long, and thanks for all the cunts.
It was a great sign-off. Yeah. Yeah.
So he didn't like the Nyan, and other people didn't necessarily like the Nyan either. Raj, at NZ Raj.
But no, hang on. I think there was a bit more discussion after that, and he didn't like the post Nyan. It wasn't the Nyan that got him. It was the expecting something post Nyan and not getting anything.
Oh well, too bad.
Was it not getting anything, or was
people
it getting
disagreed
what
he got? On that? Ben, from what I can tell, Darren is the only person who entirely agreed with you about that. The only person.
He was the only person I saw.
Well, isn't there another piece of feedback in there that says
Raj. Raj said, Raj, yeah. Worst ep ever. Started okay, but I wanted to burst my eardrums with a rusty hanger after hearing that meow cat music go on and on and on. He's not saying anything about the Easter egg. He's talking about the double extended Nyans. But then we get other people saying, so we got Laura Dolby at Dolbs on Twitter. She got a bit excited listening to Nyan Cat and cut myself with a huge knife. Damn you, discourse. Right? Do you understand that there is, you know, a disagreement about this? Some people were into it and some people weren't. And that's, you know, that's always going to be the way it is when we do weird, experimental, dodgy things.
I'll be honest.
It's fine. I wasn't into it, so...
I was a little surprised that it ended up in the show.
Well, on the bright side, Ben, you don't need to be into everything. I'm not into everything that we do either.
Excellent.
Now, another thing that we spoke about was the electrical sensitivity thing. We got a comment on the website, believe it or not, which does happen much more often than we get emails, but not nearly as much as Twitter. This is from Pete. Pete, he didn't have a Twitter name or anything that I could see. Electrical sensitivity is related to perspiration rates on the skin surface. Morgan is obviously a sweaty bastard who would fail a lie detector test. You are absolutely fucking wrong. This effect, which I noticed where I could touch, I could feel...
Wait. Is he wrong?
No, there's no fucking waiting. We've got 7 minutes.
Yeah, but you're sweaty.
No, I'm not.
You're a sweaty bastard.
No, I'm not.
You used to be.
No, that's not true. When I exercise, I sweat, just like you. I'd say you're probably sweatier than me. I bet. Because if you wouldn't interrupt, even though we've only got 6 minutes to go in the
show... You're giving people ideas for phone giveaway competitions.
Maybe I am. This effect was only really noticeable on clean, dry skin. All right? That's where it was most noticeable. It was a very subtle effect. And it had absolutely nothing to do with being sweaty. Absolutely nothing to do with that. Nothing whatsoever. Sensation. And also, this is my fucking fingertips, you dickhead. damp hands.
He might be on the wrong track.
He is on the wrong track. Someone who I think might be on the right track, and this is someone who's talking about John Brash. This is Paul Kennedy at Fatalist Palmist on Twitter. Possibly John Brash uploaded his soul to the electricity network when his meat body died in the 1930s. This is maybe some explanation as to why he seems to be able to pop in and out at will.
So, thankfully, Max Headroom, he only exists in the ether.
Yep, thankfully he hasn't been in this episode because some people do not like him.
I found Don Brash's autobiography, no, sorry, biography in my in-law's bookshelves. Would you like me to send it to you?
Oh, dear. Oh, God.
What's Don Brash got to do with anything?
I was reminded by the name, similarity. Just
oh,
sound,
right. So. Okay.
It is a similar name. I don't know if any of their interests intersect at all.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Maybe they do. Maybe they don't.
Corrections.
Something I've already spoken a little bit about. This is sort of a correction. Basically, I made two really stupid jokes last week. One about Israel seeming to be like an entitled child in the Middle East, and saying that because God wants the Jews in that part of the world, they can do whatever the fuck they like, and anyone who questions their behavior is going directly against God's wishes. I probably shouldn't make that kind of joke, even though. I think that everyone deserves to live a life of peace. Also, probably peaceful protesters shouldn't be run over by bulldozers. Just an idea. But there I go again with my hilarious jokes.
Hang on. Why are you backing down off that?
What?
I think it was just the way he phrased it.
Clearly I was backing down really terribly. Because I don't think anyone finds religion jokes very funny.
I do. Religion is stupid.
I also made jokes about Islam being an oppressive, misogynist anachronism, which probably probably shouldn't have done that either.
I think religion is as up for ridicule as your preference of breakfast cereal or
honey puffs.
Stupid. Honey puffs are disgusting.
You know what? Honey puffs have this to say about your opinion. And I say that honey puffs are...
Peanut butter on toast is so much better than your fucking honey puffs.
Peanut butter and Marmite on really crusty, hard toast. I mean, what? Really well-toasted toast.
Peanut butter and Marmite.
Peanut butter and Marmite.
I feel... My son likes that. My two-year-old likes that. And I feel bad every time I make him one of those sandwiches.
It's the one true
spread.
The one true spread. I guess we should probably get on to...
What I'm saying is, if I'm making a joke about someone's religion, they should take it about as seriously as me making a joke about their preference of TV or music or breakfast cereal.
That's never going to happen.
I care about their religion.
That's as much as you care about their religion, but that's not how much they care about their religion. Many people consider their religion to be the most important thing in their lives.
Well, yeah, but there's people who aren't religious who would think their choice of heavy metal music is the most important thing in their lives.
Yeah, unfortunately, we are outnumbered in this.
Mark is both religious and a heavy metal fan, and he's wrong on both counts.
But he is easygoing and tolerant. He does turn the other cheek.
That's true.
And sometimes when he turns the cheek, he lets rip a little fart.
Is there another correction?
Apparently I got it wrong. I suggested that surgeons were called Mr. Because they're butchers. And and Dylan, I understand that you've heard different. And it's not because they're butchers or were butchers historically.
The strangest thing, I researched it some more. I've discovered that it's actually, it was lawnmower repairmen originally.
Oh.
Tools and the sharp blades.
That makes a lot of sense because I remember meeting a boy when I was about 8 or 9 years old, and he had had his foot amputated with a lawnmower.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Precisely. Right. It was probably on order.
It was probably a very quick amputation, actually. Yeah.
Mostly painless. Yeah.
And you got a little basket that catches the leftovers.
I'm not sure that it was painless. I don't know that he could remember the pain specifically, but
more painless than using like a blunt saw or
much less painless.
Old ways of amputation.
Well, for instance, if someone came up to him with a pair of scissors and carefully snipped around his foot and tried to cut it off, like say if a barber was to try and do it,
I
mean that would be awfully painful and very slow. Last thoughts, Telecom. God, we love you so much.
Great guys, best network so far.
1 minute.
The Telecom safe zone.
That's the 1 minute warning.
Unless they fuck something up really badly, so don't do that.
No, Telecom XT, good for them. I quite like their ads as well at the moment. The what do they call it? The smartphone network or something? I quite like their ads. They're all right. Also, now, do you remember when you were young, in the 1980s, say, Dylan, I don't know if you were born yet, do you remember memorising phone numbers?
Yeah, but they were easy because our phone...
2789284.
7281.
I don't want to say any numbers because one of the only two numbers I can still remember is my mother.
And it's still the same number.
Do you know, my original ICQ number would also have been a phone number in Ponsonby. It was 3764508.
1713447, that's my ICQ number.
Do you know, the weirdest thing about it is I saw that in the show notes and I thought about it. I still remember a remarkably large number of phone numbers.
Two.
Thank you for listening. One. We love you so much.
Have a good night.
Bye.
You're listening to The Weekly Show on Wisconsin.
Sorry. All right, we're using that one.
Tune in right now for the Extra Large Extended Edition, available on discourse.co.nz or in your iTunes if you're already subscribed to The Weekly Show.